Now running company Taylor AI, we use AI to pick clothes for busy men. And the best part is that our AI also wash your clothes, because AI also a rental service, send real clothes for you to wear for a couple of weeks. Once you're done, return dirty clothes, get new ones, no more shopping or laundry. You know, it actually started with my own problem. So people tend to ask, like, two women start menswear rental business, what's going on?
Hey, welcome back to the show. And today I've got a special guest, Anya. Would you please tell us who you are and what you do?
This is Anya from Silicon Valley, now running a company, Taylor AI. We use AI to pick clothes for busy men. And the best part is that our AI also wash your clothes, because AI also a rental service.
So really?
Yeah, who says AI cannot wash your clothes? We are rental service. People pay a monthly fee. We send real clothes for you to wear for a couple of weeks. Once you're done, turn dirty clothes, get new ones. No more shopping or laundry.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah.
Are you being serious with me? That is a fantastic model. Okay, so you're telling me that guys like me who've been wearing this shirt for probably a few years, longer than I should
be. 2 years? Do laundry?
No, we do laundry. We do laundry. We're not refreshing my clothing line that often.
We are recording on Riverside. Otherwise, I was like, Ty, you smell weird.
Right? Well, Anya, give me the lowdown. Obviously, there's a huge need for this. What drove you to do this? You know the avatar well, it sounds like.
You know, it actually started with my own problem. So people tend to ask, like, two women start menswear rental business. What's going on? In fact, I used to be head of product for the e-commerce team for Meta, help you Facebook, Instagram shopping.
Right.
Was head of product for eBay before, led their new business in the US, Latin America, Africa, Asia. And during those times, I felt imposter syndrome as a woman leader in tech.
Sure.
So I want to look great. So I try some subscription boxes like Stitch Fix. But you have to buy from every single shipment after someone style you.
Interesting.
So find that money is one problem, but another problem is commitment. You have to decide. You got a box, 48 hours, you decide. I don't know. I'm not fashion forward. I will put it on and I ask my boyfriend, like, hey, thing looks good. And I ask my friends, like, hey, video, see, like, is it looks good? My email, like, FaceTime, my gay friend. Hey, am I looks okay? I don't know. And I hate the commitment, because once I buy, I also have to do laundry and ironings and dry cleanings. Just a lot of work. And before I buy, I'm also very, very, like, budget conscious. It's not that I don't have money, but it's also I want to make sure the money is right. So I will go and search if other places cheaper in just a lot of my spaces. So I start renting. I use a company like Rent the Runway, Newly, Amour. In the woman space, those companies have made $500 million revenue per year.
Right.
But it does require me to browsing through 20,000 garments and pick.
Right.
And again, pick, browse. And I don't know what looks good on me. I don't read GQ Vogue. I am not fashion forward.
Oh, come on. You're a beautiful woman.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm those who go to Uniqlo and when buy the same clothes for 10 different colors all the same time. So I don't know. And it was a aha moment that hit me. Wow, most of fashion companies are designed for people who are into fashion.
Yeah.
Not for people who need to look good, sales guy, single guy, but not into fashion. And they don't want to read GQ or browsing through thousands of garments and spend time in my spaces there. And I start doing research on other lazy women like me. And turn out there are some, but most of them are actually busy men. Hey, shopping and laundry, pastor, professor, recruiter,
yep.
Single guy, sales guy, podcast host. They want to look good for their YouTube show and their day nights and client meeting, but they don't want to think about fashion. And that's why Taylor was born.
I love it. I love the story. I love the problem. I am your avatar. Are you coming on this show to sell me today?
You look great, though. I think we can get you more characters.
Well, unfortunately, I'm at the age now where I'm actually taking fashion tips from my son. I think this is actually a hand-me-up from one of my sons who bought this.
Now I know you steal the clothes from your son's closet.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Son? Okay, let's wear it.
he's way more fashionista than I am. I am the ugly dad that just is done trying to worry about it.
But many people like you are like, hey, I do have to now get in speaking engagement.
Right.
I now have client meetings. Now with my following going more, I want to publish my books. Or I'm just a new person out of college, but I'm ready for my job interview.
Totally.
A lot of people, they do have ambitious goal, and they don't want to spend time doing figuring out what's best on them. They just want to be the best version of themselves. So Taylor is like...
And are we talking everything from head to toe? Are we talking shirts, pants, socks, shoes, the whole deal?
Yeah, not underwear. So we do sometimes get people return. They take off their pants and the underwear was inside. So.
Oh, stop. Are you kidding me?
But
those are some lazy... That's just pure lazy men. That's just...
But we don't rent underwear. Don't worry.
Okay.
We do rent no tuxedo, no yoga clothes, but everything else in between. Shorts and bottom of shorts, blazers, hoodies, t-shirts, sweater, jackets.
Wow.
Pants, everyday wear. Like probably not your wedding day, but everything else in between. So for the day night, for holiday, for fun, for conversation openers, we get customers, they say, I'm going to a conference. And we send them very interesting, like, dolphin prints. And he said, this is amazing. Everybody say, nice shirt. And they start a conversation. It's icebreaker
for them. Wow. This is awesome. I guess I didn't really understand the product before we got on this call deeply enough. But this is sounding more and more interesting. And believe me, for those listening, the links are in the show notes here. We're definitely going to promote this. This is a fun product. And so how have you, you know, looking back, you know, at the problem that you wanted to solve, it was solving your own problem. But then you're like looking around, you're saying, okay, all these corporate guys that I work around, they've got no style. They need help. They're not going to take the time to do it. You decided to throw this thing together. And how has it gone since then? What's kind of your journey been like? What are some key things you felt like, I really nailed that. I wish I didn't do that.
Yeah, I think most people ask me, like, how do you get first customer, investors?
Yeah.
For first customer, we start with a minimum viable product. So people say, you know, what's a minimum viable product? MVP is not the smallest product. Product management faculty at Northwestern University. So it's not the smallest product. It's the smallest product to validate your hypothesis. For example, if you look at Amazon's, and when you say the Echo, play music, when they have starting building the product, there was no AI behind. It was real person behind play music. Because if no one willing to talk to the machine, which was a hypothesis at the time, then it doesn't make sense to build any AI, right? So it's about validating a hypothesis or
a
competitor ran the wrong way, or newly the 500 million women's rental company, they didn't start by buying clothes. They start send out an email to a group of people who go on party and say, would you like to rent those dresses, which just image from screenshot from Macy's? And people say yes. Because if people don't rent dress, then what's the point of buying dresses to rent, right? So in our model, the same thing, we launch a landing page on Shopify, pay $10, with just a simple box, say, join our wait list. And one day, there was a guy, his name's Michael, he emailed me, say, Anya, I am a guy in San Diego. I really like you to bump me up to a wait list. I have been there for a week, blah, blah, blah. I really like the blue shirts. And I ignore him. I thought he's a scam. Like nowadays, fortunately, you can't get on any wait list, right? So then then a month after, he called me. Somehow he is a real estate agent. He's a sales guy. He knows how to find people.
Yeah.
He went on my LinkedIn. He friended me. I accepted. I didn't know who he is. He looks stupid. And he found my number, phone number, real phone number there. And then he called me. Hello, I'm real estate agent Michael from San Diego. I really like the brochure on the side. You guys must be really popular. No, we just haven't.
I love it.
So, like, you guys must be really popular because I've been waiting on your wait list for 2 months. Can you please send me the shirt? We're like,
no way.
God, he's a real person. So then we went on, we Google him, we find his real realtor website. We realized he's a real guy who went to a department store. It was Christmas sale. We bought anything that's on sale. We went to post office, into the post office box. We don't even have a real box. Post office box, and shipped it to him. he became our first customer.
Wow.
From here, we're doing the same thing with 100 people. The goal is not about making money. It's about getting their feedback. With 100 testing, now we know, oh, Todd really likes something that he can look great, but not like going right. on a runway show. He doesn't want to outperform his son. We know right. that we need some and any AI to pick clothes because with us, we're growing. Human stylist is very expensive. We know yeah. we need partner with fashion brand, ideally hundreds of them, etc. So with that, we put together a business plan. We know who we need to, what kind of people we need to hire, where we yeah. need to spend money. And then for that, we start raising money.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But then how do you get first investor? So we were, first of all, we start with our own network. I went to Northwestern University and University right. of Chicago. So I start my business with my classmates who we went to MBA 10 years ago at yeah. University of Chicago. So of course we call our professor and classmates. Hello, remember you copied my homework 10 years ago?
You owe me a favor.
So we reach out to our classmates and then community and then professor. So some of them became our early investor. And then one professor say, hey, I'm a professor. I don't have money, but I can connect you to other students who are founder. So yeah. I talked to a founder. He's building some AI camera for police stations. In a conversation, I forgot that I was trying to ask him for introduction of his investor. I was just genuinely trying to help him. His product yeah. sounds fascinating. So I asked him, like, how does he work? La, la, la. And he said, I need introduction of bodyguards. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was at Meta. I helped build Facebook connectivity, Wi-Fi. When we were in Africa, we had our bodyguard company. Let me connect right. to them. I used to work for Target. And in Chicago, we have our bodyguard company for our malls and stores. And let me connect you to them. So I connect a whole bunch of potential clients to him.
Right.
Few weeks after, he circled back to me. Anya, thank you so much for those amazing leads. By the way, why did you reach out? Like, how can I be helpful? Yes.
There are good people out there, Anya. There are good people.
I keep a scheme, right? So I was like, yes. Oh, I forgot. I was trying to ask you to connect us to your investor. So he connects us to Berlin Capital, which is an early investor of Lyft, Instacart, Spotify, and a lot of unicorns.
Right.
And so we talked to the Berlin Capital, and in half an hour, we got $1 million. So
nice.
That's how we got our first investor.
Wow.
And in terms of how we get our first supplier, I thought if we get on news, then we get supplier, right?
Right.
So where's our reporters? I don't know. So I went on a conference, TechCrunch, here in San Francisco.
Yeah.
TechCrunch Disrupt. So I wait outside the press room. As soon as the reporter came out, I sent them my business card. No, I didn't have a card at the time. It was just a random paper. It's like, hey, this company name is Taylor.
Right.
And let me explain this idea to you. And after I got home, I follow up again. Finally, she emailed me back. She said, stop emailing me. I'm really not interested in this story. A week went by. She emailed me back. I was like, yes, I told you so. You said you are wrong. That's right. She said, no. I still think the idea is dumb. But for some reason, my colleague really liked the idea. So connecting you two, you guys go figure it out. So I talked to her colleague. He really got it. He loved it. He knows sustainability, the circular fashion,
right.
saving the world, and lazy economy, etc. He was ready to write a front page story.
Right.
Don't stand by, nothing happened. Follow up, nothing happened. So life went on, went to a startup competition. We won the West Coast Championship. And
nice.
We went on to compete on the Chicago, which is global championship. And I thought, yeah, this is a timing. Maybe we can get on more press.
Right.
So, but who cares this small competition that hosts by University of Chicago? Like, no one care. No.
Right.
This one person will care. Who? Besides me. One person care. Who? Because I'm also Northwestern University faculty.
Right.
So imagine the headline sounds like Northwestern University faculty, I'm also an alumni, but faculty won the University of Chicago competition. This sounds, nobody cares.
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun. Yeah.
For Northwestern University.
Rivals and you beat,
right? Only school newspaper will care. Nobody else will, but school newspaper will care. So I reach out to the editors like, hey, imagine we are going to win the rivalry schools competition. So
love
the school published the story. And I also was a faculty, right? So they cannot receive a faculty. So They published a story, and somehow local Chicago ABC News picked out the story. We got on the ABC News show. And I took the news show clip. I sent it.
They must have been a Northwestern graduate as well, because they were like, ha, ha, ha.
That's right. So I sent a news clip back to the WWD, which is a trade publication who I met in TechCrunch. I sent it to the reporter who seems to like our story. I said, hey, why don't you use this to convince your boss that this is an interesting story? The next day, the story came out. And then when the story came out, because it's a trade publication, right away we got a brand in Canada reach out to us, and it became our first supplier. And today we got 200 suppliers globally. And
I love it.
Yeah, so serving lots of customers now.
So how many suppliers?
We got 300 fashion brands work with us, including like Marine Layer, Johnson & Murphy, Bonobos, Pats, Rons. Most of brands that you heard of, they are high quality. And we also work with international brands that might be well known in outside of US, Italy, Netherlands, and Japan, but they may not be well known or available in the US. We also partner with them.
I love it. This is so cool. Because, you know, most men, in fact, it's a common joke, and leave it in the comments if you're like me, but like most people, most men my age are proud of the fact that 80% of my clothes I'm wearing today, I bought at Costco, right? Like we just let the Costco buyers figure out what we're going to wear, and we just are quick and easy. We're getting groceries. I just got a new outfit. You know what I mean? So this is really cool, because I do go to events and I do go to places where I should be dressed up a little more than I am. And oftentimes I work it out. You know, I've got daughters who usually pick my outfits before I go to an event. But you're telling me the AI is actually going to take a body scan, you take some pictures. Like, how is this working? And first of all, like, yeah, let's not dive too deep into, but what is the deal there? How does this work? What is your onboarding like?
Yeah, super easy. People pay a monthly fee, just like Netflix show, like less than $100. And people get to wear like 6 or 10 clothes per month, which mix and match to be complete outfits.
Right.
And after subscriptions, and they start answering a few questions. So we ask people's their body measurements, simple as height and weight, which we don't always use, because for some reason, most of our customers think they are taller and thinner than who they really are. So they tend to put wrong information there. So we usually ask some validating questions like, hey, go to your closet, pick your favorite item and tell me what size is it. Don't worry, I'm definitely size million. Oh my God, when can I start wearing the Costco size extra large? Yes, it's 3 years ago, remember? Since COVID, right? So we ask some validating questions, or we ask them like, what are your fit issues? Sleeves too long, pants too tight, and what are some common issues you have? And then we ask them to hearts and dislike some item, like dislike, like Tinder view.
Awesome.
Like, we show them some picture. And if you like, they can also upload a picture of themselves. And most important question is the goal. Our customers don't care what they wear. As long as you achieve a goal, getting a job, getting a day, close a deal. As long as I get my girlfriend, I don't care what I wear. As long as I close a $1 million deal, I don't care what I wear. As long as I get on Spotify number one, I don't care what I wear, right?
I love it.
All the goals. So we ask them their goals, and is a conversation starter, is a stand up, or is a stand out, or is a fit in? Do they want to look more mature, younger, or personal statement, or whatever they want to achieve. And
from there,
if they want, they can get an optional 15 minutes consultation free call with a human stylist. So you get on Zoom with a human stylist, and some people show their closet, some people show their whatever information. We have a furniture designer, a customer, he just show his furniture collection, where people show their wife, their husbands. Do this, and some people show their shoes. These are the only 2 shoes I have. Like, you have to pair with this, and whatever things you want. And then from there, you just have the package arrive at your door, and you can text us and say, next 2 weeks, I do have the 2 holiday party, and then I do have one this family day with my family in Hawaii or Utah, and then we make sure it's perfect for the occasion. And once they are done, if they travel, they change your address, say change to Hawaii, they wear home, put into the return envelope, give it to hotel lobby. They go home without doing any laundry. And
Yeah. That's perfect.
Travel light. Oh my gosh.
You're solving so many problems at the same time. I absolutely love it.
Travel light, no need to do laundry. Everybody hates doing laundry after holidays, you know?
Like, oh, yeah.
Christmas party, you got home, it's like, oh, I have to do laundry. No, you don't have to.
All right, Anya. So let's recap. Let's recap because I keep getting distracted thinking about your product because I think it's so cool. But I really want to know about your journey. And so I really want to dive into this a little bit deeper. So you started kind of on your own here. You're thinking, hey, all these men around me have this problem. I'm going to see if someone's willing to pay me for this. They did. You get the Michael from San Diego. He's your first client. And then you get 100 clients. And then you started making kind of knocking on the door for investment and you found it. And then from there, how has the growth been from there? Because a lot of people, I love to ask people, okay, let's say you got the raise that you were looking for and the terms were great and you didn't have to give up too much equity and it worked out just the way it should.
You never.
What do you do with the money and how well are you able to execute that? Right?
You never. It's challenge one after the other, learnings one after the others.
Right? Oh, yeah.
For example, at the beginning, when we get our supplier, thought the only thing they care is to monetize their assets inventory. We do revenue share with our supplier. We don't always buy the inventory, which means imagine you are an amazing brand in Italy. You have assets inventory, which everybody has. And in the men's industry, whatever trendy this year, probably the same as 3 years ago, right? So, by the way, men's out there, guys, the only thing different this year is the color of year is mocha. So if you have a brown, like light brown or brown color shorts or what, bring it out because then you are trendy. This color of year is mocha.
Good to know. Okay. What about winter? Same thing?
Last year, I think this year still trendy, but last year, the color of year is maroon. So it's like the dark, like red, white colors.
Gotcha.
These two colors, mocha like light brown or bronze and red wine were like dark red and you are all set for this year.
Good to know.
The industry at the beginning, we thought, hey, they would love to work with us just to monetize their assets inventory, right? It's amazing. Using your inventory, enter a new US market, find new customers, and we help you to got now customer render your clothes and they love you. They start buying from you. It's amazing. They do. But we realized starting actually month two, they only care mostly about the feedback data. They want to know, what do people like my clothes about?
Right.
Oh, why they are not buying? Oh, the sleeve is need 1 inch more. Oh, the pants tight. It's extra large. It's actually too small for extra large. But then for small people, it's actually too big for small people. Like, most things are like very specific feedback.
You're the fastest feedback loop for these clothing manufacturers.
Exactly. So then realize we are the data goal. Like they don't need Nielsen anymore. They don't need like McKinsey anymore. They don't need to launch a US market and with marketers anymore. They realize they just send us their assets inventory boom in 2 weeks. They know what to do next year.
No, stop it.
So much. So we realized, wow, we are actually a data company. We are not just a channel.
That is
a data company for them.
That is no fair. You're like so much smarter than most of us on the show. Like that is a brilliant, brilliant double take on what you're doing.
And then we also realized most of fashion brand, they are horrible in technology. They are really no tech, that really no fashion, but horrible in tech. They are horrible in like, if you look at today, any fashion brands, most of them were still very, very old school. So they look at me like, Anya, this AI thing is very cool, but you are not in Italy. Can I use your AI to put on our website to help people to pick clothes? Okay.
So hey, now you're a tech company. So first you're a clothing releasing, now you're a data company, and now you're a tech company.
Yeah, and the best part is that I don't have to find my client because my clients are exactly my supplier. So Yeah, who's the boss? They will have to talk to me because every month they are my supplier. They actually come to us and say, hey, can I license your tech? Can I license your data? And we know what they need because we partner so closely working side by side together. And so perfect. And we are a Silicon Valley based company and founded by Anya, who doesn't know fashion. We do have amazing stylists from Victoria.
You look gorgeous, by the way. don't say that. Come on.
Well, we have amazing stylists come from like Zappos and Nike, Adidas, like we can, fashion company know fashion even better, it's perfect. Then we can help them on technology and you help us on fashion. Then we become even more strategic partner versus just very transactional, order 3 pens, order 5 pens, right? So we working side by side together and we more stronger together. Of course, our customers happier because then they get amazing outfit all the time.
Well, ironically, in the whole last little segment you've been talking, I just thought of like 3 other ways to monetize this. So we'll chat afterwards. But I love that you're so willing to just adapt to new models and that you are aware that your product solves more than one problem.
Yeah. And we also learn over time, like we actually sell to corporations because we found like company, like we have a client, they are an accounting firm. Right. They want to offer this for their employee holiday gifting because they secretly, they found their company feel a little bit old school. So hard to compete with Big 4 for tech client. So
for sure.
It's really hard to implement the dress code, right? People feel like, what do you mean? I don't look good. What do you mean? Like looking good is like, right? So they feel like, okay, then I just offer this service. Employees save time. Nobody like to do laundry. We help them to look great. And the sales look great. They go out, they cut deals and money back to the company. So we became...
Yeah, but see, then you're going to have this second problem that you were referencing earlier about the smells. You're going to include like some sample size colognes and maybe some deodorant and just be like, listen, you got to be ready for spring. We got the spring smells, the spring look, right?
we do definitely will start doing some upsell stuff because people say, oh, can you also sell me shoes, accessories?
That of course.
I'm not renting. I'm not renting shoes, but can you recommend me perfect shoes? Can you recommend me even jewelry for Valentine's Day?
I love
Christmas
it.
Because for men, they see us more like a executive assistant, more like the guy behind superhero, more like a fairy godmother. They just want to help them to get ready for the day, not just only outfits. Yeah, but although I'm not sure about the cologne thing, because we want to make sure they don't put much smells on our rental. So they
fair.
People, but other stuff for sure.
Well, this has been so fun. So moving forward, and I guess looking back as well, all I've heard is positivity and this has gone so smooth and everything has gone perfect. Give us some insight. What's been your biggest challenge so far in getting this to work?
I think there's a lot of challenge over time, and I can share one story on how we learn. So we went on a startup competitions, and which was the one on the previous story. We got one of the world championship, right? Ready to go on the Chicago Global Final. And BBC News, we are so ready for the show. So I found 42 former judges to practice the
English.
So who are the best person who can teach me with former judges? And I'm not cheating because they were previous judges, not this year's judges, right? So we got 42 times. So when I went on the pitch, my pitch was perfect. But after the pitch, when the judge asked me question, I was totally stunned. Why? I was thinking in my head, okay, this question, judge practice number 27 asked me that question, and I wrote down the question answer in the appendix number 2, and the answer was what? I didn't try to answer the question at all. I was trying to find the answer from someone who told me because I didn't believe I could answer any question.
Imposter syndrome.
How do I know? I'm just a new founder. I know nothing. 42 judges know better than me. And their questions were weird. Oh, I don't remember. I lost because I couldn't really answer any question. But then when I go home, I hear the pitch, the recording again. I totally no answer for every single one. I just didn't believe I could. I wasn't impressed. I wasn't enjoying the competition. I was just trying to find answer that I collect from someone else to answer the competition. So first, we lost $100,000. Although the winner was actually life longevity medicine. Who can compete with that? Do you want 2 years more of your life? Yes, right?
Yeah, but right.
We lost $100,000. And I think looking back, it's because I didn't believe in myself. So I think we learn, and then from there, we are a lot more mindful on where we feel imposter syndrome, how, we are startup founders. So you think about this stuff all day long. Like, no one knows better than you. So be open-minded, but also believe in yourself.
Anya, that's beautiful advice. And for those of you listening, you've probably find yourself feeling that way a lot, especially after you've had a successful launch. And I know what it feels like. I've launched a lot of different products and a lot of different companies. And whenever you actually make it past all the explosions and all the stresses and the sleepless nights, you look at yourself in the mirror and you think, I got lucky. But the reality is, it's just like Anya just realized herself, that you oftentimes have all the answers. You just don't trust yourself enough. So Anya, how did you recover from that, and how is that helping you moving forward?
I think this is step by step. I think mentally is actually the biggest challenge. I think running business is everything okay. Customer churn, you ask them why they churn. Okay, you don't like cologne, so okay, remind the customer do not wear colognes or don't promote colognes, right? So or customer churn because they want more pants or buy more pants. So those were challenging but solvable. I think mentally is hard. When I started, the biggest is adjusting to be a founder, because I always work for tech company, Meta, eBay, Target, McDonald's, and Sears, and Kmart throughout my whole career. So every time I go on any networkings or conference, people want to talk to me because I can either land a job or potentially getting cutting and deals or just going to get some insight and helping for their company.
But now the roles reverse.
But when you start a founder, you go to a conference, nobody talk to you. Everybody talk to the investors, people call the IPO company founders, right?
Yeah.
So at the beginning, I felt like, oh my God, I'm suddenly became nobody. And then you feel hurt because you start, when I reach out to people, hey, former founder, hey, you were my vendor. I give you $1 million deal, and that's how you guys win IPO. People are not always as what you expected. I get people saying, no, I don't have time even to talk to you. And at the beginning, I feel like, oh my God, those people were not very nice. And but then I started adjusting my mindset. I feel sad, or then I feel like I'm actually blessing, because now I see a true color of people. I don't have to figure out who is real, who's nice to me. Like, I actually know who is actually genuinely trying to help me, right? Because I'm now starting again. So, or before, I feel like, oh my God, it's like a lot of work on hiring blue collar worker, warehouse workers, a lot of I have to, one day our warehouse was leaking. I have to bring a basket and then get on Ubers and then going to the office and then doing the basket while figuring out where are the plumber. And I hate that.
But then
I discovered that in the past, I never see any garden in my community, because everything is supposed, Amazon package is supposed to show up, the garbage is supposed to be taken, and whatever the gardening is supposed to be done, they are all magic before, which is supposed to be. And now I realize every time
everything sits on you.
When I see people, I see Tuesday, Friday, they take a garbage out, and then the garden come out on Wednesday and do what?
Yep.
Because now I run the operations. I work with blue collar workers. And so I know, in order to make the magic package arrive at home, it was how many people's work. Someone packing, someone shipping, someone carrying, someone doing the technology, someone
customer
doing the
service,
etc. So quickly, so I feel that my world become a lot bigger. I see people who I didn't see before.
Yeah,
I have appreciation for my life a lot more than what I had before. So I think it's just mindset change, and then it does help me be a little bit happier person than feel like, oh my God, founder life is hard. So now I feel like founder life is hard, but founder life is also fun and rewarding.
Anya, Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I appreciate you coming on the show today. This has been a real treat to have you, and what a blessing to hear about the success you're having, and that the failures haven't been total nosedives. I mean, these are little things that have helped you to build and grow your business. But I challenge everybody listening, first of all you men, go and check out her offering and go see what you could do to spice this up a little bit, because listen, most of us don't know what we're doing. But on the second time, you know, Anya has shared a lot of really good golden nuggets in here. I hope you listen to this interview at least a couple times, because her experience is what all of you should be navigating towards if you're looking to grow your business the way she has. And so thank you, Anya, for taking the time to be here. And for those listening, go check it out. We hope you subscribe to the channel, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Yeah,
thanks so much, Anya.
Taylor.style, that's TAELOR.STYLE, or you can reach out to me at Anya, that's ANYA at TAELOR.AI, and we will put the codes right there to get 25% off. And also for the gift card, her best gift is time, style, and also no laundry.
Okay, we're sticking that all in. I love your taglines. Thank you, Anya.
Thank you, Anya from Taylor.style.
Hey, what did you think of that story? I love, love, love her energy. I love her company. I love her story. And I am a proud new ambassador of this line, because I can't say enough how much I need this product. And I know you do too. And if you do, I've got links down below for 25% off. So check it out. But also, if you haven't done so already and you are part of our community, you need to take a growth readiness assessment. It's free. There's no cost to this. You go to growthreadiness.com and you click the link at the top that says free assessment, and you are going to understand why your business is not growing. You see, a lot of us have experiences where we come into starting a business or becoming part of a startup or even just of a product series within a big company. And we think, gosh, I'm really good at three or four things, but I'm not good at everything. And you start to see where your weaknesses are. And when you see that, you start to hire, you start to plug people in where you're weak, and now becomes your strength, because they're not distracted like you are, and you can build and grow your business, all because you took the growth readiness assessment and understood, am I growth ready or not? We'll tell you. Take the free assessment at growthreadiness.com. We'll catch up with you later, and we hope you subscribe and become part of our community here at Growth Readiness on the Growth and Scaling Podcast. We'll catch you later.